Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome to Food for the Journey. And today, as usual, we look ahead, this time to the readings for this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And once again, as I begin this program, let me remind you, go to our website, renewalministries.net. You can find there all kinds of CDs, all kinds of books, all kinds of booklets, all kinds of DVDs that can be helpful to you, can inspire and encourage and give you real meat to help you to follow the Lord more closely. So take a look, renewalministries.net. This Sunday, we read from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 20 to 32. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grave that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." Sodom and Gomorrah. Cities that were destroyed because of sin. All kinds of sin. But in a particular way, sexual sin. There was all license. It was all license. There was no curbing it. Commands were totally violated. That's the way they lived. That's the way they wanted to live. And while Abraham's visitors walked on farther towards Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. And then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in that city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice?" Do you hear Abraham's confidence? He's not challenging the Lord. He's just trying to understand. The Lord replied, "If I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." 50. Among hundreds of thousands. 50. And Abraham spoke up again. "See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord." He knows he's really pushing the envelope here, so to speak. "Though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? And he answered, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Abraham persisted, saying, "What if only 40 are found there?" And he replied, "I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. And then Abraham said, "Let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there?" He's trying to see the level of God's mercy, but he's also bargaining, in a sense, for the sake of the people. "What if only 30 are found there?" And he replied, "I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there." Still, Abraham went on, "Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? And the Lord answered, "I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted, "Please, let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there?" And God replied, "For the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it." Brothers and sisters, Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because God could not find even 10 righteous people in that city. There's a lot to be said about this. But the first thing is, make sure that you are living a righteous life. You give to God what belongs to God. You give him worship, adoration, thanksgiving daily. You feed on his word daily. You repent of your sin daily. You carry out the duties of your state in life, your responsibilities daily. You do this out of love for God. You repent when you fail. That makes you righteous in God's sight. It's the intent for which you do it. Oftentimes we do good things so that we'll get the applause of others. Those good deeds, however good they may be, do not bear eternal fruit. We need to do good things for the right reasons and repent when we fail. And when we repent, God restores. I also want you to see that the Lord listens to those who intercede. The Lord listened to Abraham. And you who are praying for others, the Lord will hear your prayer. Be faithful, be utterly faithful before God in intercession for those you love. God will hear your prayer. And the gospel certainly will reinforce that. But before that, let's look at the responsorial psalm, Psalm 138. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me. Let Psalm 138 become your prayer. This is truth. God does hear your prayer when you cry out to him. But he looks most of all at your heart. Are they just words on your lips, or are they coming from your heart? God hears the cry of the heart. The second reading, Paul to Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism. In other words, we died to original sin in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us. That bond is obliterated by our baptism and by our ongoing repentance. With its legal claims, which was opposed to us, he also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. For the sin of Adam and Eve, the original sin that would have led all of us to death, that curse is broken by Jesus Christ. You can live forever if you follow him. This is the Alleluia verse before the gospel. For this Sunday, you have received a spirit of adoption through which we cry, Abba, Father. When you were baptized, you truly became a son or daughter. We were adopted by the Father through the merits of Jesus Christ. You are a son or a daughter of God, truly. It's free gift. Will you receive the gift? Will you receive it? God knows what he wants us to have for all eternity, but we have a choice to reject the gift or to receive it. And the Gospel of Luke for this Sunday, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. What they're doing is they're watching him. They must have been watching him, because he was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, he just stopped praying. Then one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like you're praying. What they saw was a relationship. They saw that God was not just mumbling prayers to fulfill the ritual. And we can do that too. He was praying deeply. Scripture says, in sighs and groans, sometimes too deep for words, as he was interceding for his people. Teach us to pray. And Jesus says to them, when you pray, say this, Father, my Father. I've done many times a program on here on praying the Lord's Prayer. Very simply, call him Father. He is your Father. He calls you his sons and daughters. He allows you to call him by name. Say his name with reverence, Father. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, not mine, yours. Give us each day our daily bread, what we need for the day. Give me what I need for today. What I want is for everything to be secure and all taken care of, and so that I don't have to ask. That we think is security. But if we really look to God giving us our daily bread, what it is we need for the day, we will find ourselves much better nourished than if we do it our way. Much better nourished, because God knows what lies ahead. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. Do you? Do you? Do you forgive? If you haven't forgiven, or you find it very hard to forgive, turn to the Lord. Jesus forgave those who destroyed him humanly. He can give you the grace to forgive. Many of us don't want it because it offends our sense of justice. Take on God's sense of justice, and you're going to see beauty and freedom and peace and even joy in your own heart if you do it God's way. So forgive. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him. And he says in reply from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give them whatever he needs because of his persistence. So, brothers and sisters, don't stop praying. Don't stop interceding. The Lord will hear you. The Lord will answer you. Don't give up. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Look at the promises. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is the one who prays in us to the Father. It is the Holy Spirit who leads us into union with God. It is the Holy Spirit who presents our petitions before the face of the Father. You are never alone, never alone in your prayer. Pray with confidence and draw nearer and nearer to God as your Father, for he will hear you with great love. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.